Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
As a quick review, very quick, we started the chapter out with being quickened and given life while we were dead, alien sinners, far from God. We're going to have some of that brought forth again this morning. We come down to verse 9 that Steve's brought forth also on the same text, not of works, lest any man should boast, that we have salvation. There's nothing we could do to attain it, being dead alien sinners. And we find in verse 10, for we are his workmanship. What does that teach us? That teaches us that God took us from the death of sin in which we were in, that God gave us life. We could not stand to receive the Spirit of God in a measure if we were still sinners in the eyes of God, because God cannot look upon sin. Sin cannot have communion with God. Sinners cannot stand in communion with God. And even though while we walk in this earth, we are still sinners, Christ died for us. He cleansed us from our sins in his blood, paying the sacrificial sacrifice, the sacrifice that redeemed us, that paid for our sin. The wages of sin were death. He died for us, shedding his blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It's his workmanship. It's what he did. And we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The Spirit of God, regeneration, brings us to that. Gives us a desire. I think it's the 110th Psalm says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The Spirit of God within us, which causes us to seek after God and want to please God, because we have a knowledge of God which we had not before. Being Gentiles, remember the text, he's writing this epistle to the Gentiles in Ephesus. It's written to the Gentile church. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. The things that God had before ordained, when did he ordain them? Before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. Why should we walk in them? We'll get into that in chapter 3. Because God, the purpose of God, that God would have a people. We're going to go into now verse 11. You've got to understand two things. We were Gentile sinners. The word Gentile means the nations. That's a brief explanation of the word Gentile. The nations, every nation that was not of Israel, that was manifested in the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. God chose Israel. God called Abram, changed his name to Abraham, had a promised seed in Isaac, and we see the 12 sons of Jacob coming forth, the patriarchs of the nation of Israel. They were not all from Leah. They were not all from Rachel. Handmaids. You want to talk about how righteous we are? Look at our lineage. Servants, handmaids. That's what we came from. I love to go to Matthew chapter 1 and see Rahab the harlot there in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We were sinners. And yet God was pleased to choose us to manifest his love in the New Testament church and throughout eternity. He begins in verse 11, says, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. That means we are not descendants of Abraham. We're not descendants of Isaac. We're not descendants of Jacob or any of the 12 tribes of Israel. Our natural lineage, you know, the Jews looked to Abraham. They didn't look to God. We be Abraham's seed. Well, I'm going to tell you, Abraham was a sinner, just like I am. But yet God loved him and had mercy on him, like I trust he has in me because I love him. But we were Gentiles in the flesh. He's telling this to the Ephesians. You were not of Israel. You were called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh. Let's go back to Genesis 17. We find where God called Abram, said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God gave him the sign of circumcision. The circumcision of the foreskin. On the eighth day of life, the child was to be circumcised. His foreskin was to be cut away. Now I want you to think about that, because as we think about what that entails, it's something that cannot be seen outwardly. It's something private. It's something that you know, but since we all wear clothing, nobody sees it. I'll leave that there and compare it to the circumcision of the heart. God knows, because God did it. It is a token of the covenant that God made, that God kept, because we have kept no covenant. We have defiled everything God gave us, whether Jew or Gentile, because we're sinners. We were Gentiles in the flesh, and we were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision. Israel called the Gentiles uncircumcised. God told Abraham that if you're a stranger, your servant in your house, he's got to be circumcised. In order to be in the nation of Israel or to be a part of it, he had to be circumcised. That was a covenant God made. It's bringing us to the circumcision of the heart. When God does the surgery, it cannot be seen. It's covered by the nature of Adam and the body of man. But it can be manifested by the acts which we do, which are to give glory to God. When we say God circumcised the heart, we're not talking about a physical way in which someone would cut away foreskin or someone would carve the sides off the heart. We're talking about God taking the heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. Yeah. That we might live and that we might love and that we might know God. Mm-hmm. Remember at the time the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world? That the Jews, what was left of Israel, looked upon the Gentiles, the nations that were without Israel, outside of, I mean, not of Israel, as dogs. Filthy, low down dogs. The woman in John 4 is an example of that. She asked the Lord, "You being a Jew, askest of me to drink?" She was a Gentile. She was of Israel, but they'd scattered among the Gentiles. They'd been dispersed among the Gentiles. The point being with this text, speaking to Gentiles, that God hath quickened us, that God hath given us life. It's all the work of God. Steve told us, and this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. This is God's work. We've been circumcised in the heart. We were dead alien sinners. We were Gentiles. Being a Gentile, where did that leave us? Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ. We know that the Jews looked for the Messiah. They looked for the Christ. In fact, many of them denied him because of jealousy, accused him of mischief when he did come. Nonetheless, the promise was given to Israel. It was given to God's people among Israel that a Messiah would come. We've already established the fact before that all of the nation of Israel are not children of God, because Jesus told the Jews in John 10, "You hear not my voice because you're not of my sheep." Yep. And back to Romans 9, where Steve took us today, they are not all Israel of that nation, which are Israel, speaking of the spiritual nation here in the kingdom of God today, because before the foundation of the world, God had chosen a people among Jew and Gentile. Why is it? What's the purpose, or one purpose, of God showing us in Genesis chapter 25 of the lineage of Abraham? Oh, yes, we find Sarah, we find Isaac, we find Jacob, but we also see other sons of Abraham, some from Hagar, the handmaid, and they're blessed of God, some from Keturah, whom Abraham married when Sarah died. They were Gentiles, but they're there in Genesis 25 to teach us that God had a people among the Gentiles. They were sons of Abraham. What does it mean to be a son of Abraham? I'm not related to Abraham by blood, but Abraham is the father of the believers. God revealed himself to him and made him believe, and God reveals himself to us and makes us believe. Now, before Christ came, as Paul is explaining to these people in Ephesus, I've already told you about Diana, the sensual god they worshiped, and the things that the Gentiles, the nations of the world, worship, pagans, things made with hands, things that could not save, things that they bowed down to in order that their god, handmade, little g, would serve them. That's no different from a dollar bill. That's no different from gold and silver. That's no different from power or anything else we, by our nature, worship. At that time, we were without Christ in the world. God did not tell the Gentiles about a Messiah. We were aliens. That means we were foreigners. We did not know about Christ. We did not know about God, being Gentiles by our nature, not included in the covenant God made with Abraham, not being circumcised, not being of the group who at this time had been given the law that Christ came to fulfill, not knowing the oracles of God, not knowing the things of God, not having a knowledge at all of God. Because we were Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And God had not chosen us to manifest his love toward, catch this is important, in this world. We're going to plainly see in chapter 3 that God had a people among the Gentiles before the foundation of the world. Every child of God, as Steve gave us in John chapter 6, was given to Christ to die for and to raise up on the last day. There were not any chosen after God created. There was not any chosen after God made that decree and made that covenant. When was that decree made? In eternity. That makes it without beginning and without end, because as I told you last week, I believe God is present tense. Now, same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ the same. That covenant's always been there. That knowledge has always been there. God had a people among the Jews, of Israel, and of Gentiles before the world ever was. This context is not teaching us of eternal glory. It's speaking about the kingdom of God in the world. So many doctrines of man cannot see temporal salvation. Everything has to be eternal. Steve just read to us from Romans 8, nothing, life nor death nor any other creature can separate us, again they're Romans, Gentiles, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's eternally. That's eternal. The scripture does not dispute itself. The scripture says our sins have separated us from God. That's not eternal. Because we cannot be lost from God, therefore it must be temporally. They knew not God. They were Gentiles. We knew not God by our nature because we're Gentiles. The lost sheep of the house of Israel, if not being lost from God, because it's impossible, pertains to temporal salvation, then how were the lost sheep gathered? Why were they lost if they couldn't be lost? Because their sins had separated them from God. But you see the mercy of God, and God sent Christ to gather them. Mm-hmm. Now, this is dealing with the Gentile church. Jew and Gentile together. Regarding verse 12, that at that time, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, being Gentiles in the flesh, Ye were without Christ, no knowledge of God, no knowledge of Christ. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, I believe we ought to preach, and I believe we ought to evangelize because the Bible teaches us that. But I go back to the words of Jacob to Rachel when she sought children, because Leah had more than she. He said, am I in God's stead? We're not in God's stead. We cannot manufacture children of God. But we are to make disciples. That means to make students of Christ to the born again children of God. Even a child of God who is not born of the Spirit does not have it given to him at that time to believe in Christ. But when God quickens him, when God gives him life, when God brings him unto himself, gives him the knowledge, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then he has that ability. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were foreigners. We were like those in Mexico or those in Canada or those across the two oceans and the other parts of Europe, Asia, and Africa. We were foreigners regarding showing this nation and the nations of the world. And this nation is not the church of God, believe me. But using that as an example. We worship this country too much. We need to put our worship to God, and God will bless the church. But at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We're not inside the borders of Israel, or what was left of it, under Roman dominion. And strangers from the covenants of promise. They'd never heard the law. It was not given to them at that time. It was given to the Jews and of Israel. The law was there for a purpose. They were strangers to the oracles of God. They were strangers to the promises of God, that God would bless them when they sought him. That promise of the Messiah who would come and restore the nation of Israel, not the physical nation, no, it's passed away. God said, the end of all Israel has come before me. But the establishment that we see in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church. And then he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Let me say this now. The name means a stone. And upon this rock I will build my church. I don't care what the Pope said. Peter is not the stone that the church is built upon. We find in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, speaking of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone upon which everything is built. And we find Peter there in chapter 2 and verse 5 telling us that we, God's children, are living stones. We are living stones. Stones are not bricks. Bricks are made in a kiln. They're all alike. Stones are different. Each one weathered by time as rain and wind blows across it. God's people, every family, nation, kindred, tribe, tongue, all people, God has a people from them. We're stones. The stone being built upon is Jesus Christ, and that is of revelation of him. Back to Matthew 16 again. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They gave their answers. He said, but whom say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did the Lord say? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father, which art in heaven. Upon that rock, revelation, manifestation of the Father through the Son, and a purpose for it, we'll get to in the next chapter. We were aliens, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, foreigners, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. If we have no knowledge of God, if we have no knowledge of Christ, the Jew had a knowledge of God. They didn't have a knowledge in Christ. They wouldn't have him, most of them, until God touched them and gave them life. But We had no knowledge of God. By our nature, we had no knowledge of Christ. Jude says there are those who are twice dead. That means they're dead in sin and dead to God and will never know God. They'll suffer the lake of fire. But we were strangers from that and without God in the world. Had no knowledge of God in the world. Once again, this context is about the kingdom of God in the world. The Jews or Israel was never, ever cut off from eternal glory. Romans 8 and 31 proves that. The Gentiles were never added to eternal glory. They were always children of God, chosen from before the foundation of the world. John 6, along with Romans 8, 31, proves that. Take what the scripture says. This text is dealing with the kingdom of God in this world. He took away the first that he would establish the second. We were strangers from Israel and the covenants of God, and Christ had no hope and was without God in the world, this one in which we dwell. But now, excuse me. But now, this moment, today, in time, that moment, that day, Paul was preaching to the Gentiles in Ephesus. That day, this day, if tomorrow comes, tomorrow will be now. Yesterday was now, yesterday. My point is now. In Christ Jesus, today is the day of salvation. But now, in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to say this before I leave that thought. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And while we can say that about today or yesterday or tomorrow, it boils down to the day of Christ and the crucifixion. If you read the rest of that text in Psalm 118, I do believe we find it's the day that they bound the sacrifice with cords to the altar, and that was Christ bound by the covenant of God to the cross at Calvary. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, it's not talking about distance as nations. Canada touches the border of this country. Mexico touches the border of this country. Guatemala's a little farther off. Central America's a little farther off. Russia, China, Japan, all of Europe, they're farther off and farther off. It's not talking about geographical distances or boundaries. It's talking about being without God in the world. God cannot look upon sin. We were dead in trespasses and sins. God could not look upon us. We could not dwell with God. We could not be in union with God. We could not know God. We had no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, from Mary's womb, the Son of God, by whom she conceived, ye who sometimes were far off, where were you? As far away as you could get from God. Dead in trespass and in sins, Gentiles, according to the flesh. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. Made nigh. God hath brought you nigh unto him. Went through James last year. James says, draw nigh unto God, that he may draw nigh unto you. You cannot draw nigh unto something you don't know. You have no desire to. Therefore, you must be born of God to know God. As Steve pointed out, you have no choice in being born of your parents. You have no choice of being born of God. You do have a choice of walking closer to God and drawing nigh unto Him in this world. If you want to live in misery, then sit there and enjoy the world, because I promise you, you're not going to enjoy it long. Because God puts within you a desire to leave the things of the world and to come unto Christ. And drawing nigh unto God is a way to justify to other men, because justification by works justifies to other men that you are a child of God, because it's manifested to them when you walk with God and turn from the things of the world that you're God's child, and in that God is glorified. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, how far? As far as we could get, dead in trespasses and sins, are made nigh. God brought you unto Himself. How did you get there? By the blood of Christ. For you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, received in vain tradition from your fathers. That's the Jewish nation, the Israelites. But because Peter was sent to the Jews, remember, primarily. But with the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. For He is our peace. Micah 5:5 is a different context, but it makes a point. This man shall be our peace when the Assyrian cometh into the land. That's another context completely. I'm not going there today. But I want you to understand, this man is our peace. This man is Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6, He's called the Prince of Peace. How is Christ our peace? Because He died for us. He made us holy and without blame before God the Father in love. God looks upon us. He sees the blood of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, and God is pleased. God did not have to manifest this to us, but God has. And in that we have peace in the knowledge of Christ. We have peace in knowing that when the Son of God came to this world in the glory of God aside, that He came into the world born of a virgin, that He died upon Calvary's cross, that He redeemed us from our sins. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We're made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's why all the glory is to Christ and all the glory is to God. And if you will forgive me, I'm going to close now, that we may have conference, and then we're going to head on down the road in a few minutes to go see my grandson, Levi, baptized. I'm going to tell you, I don't pray for God to give anybody eternal life. As Christ quickens him, He wills. But I pray daily for all those I love, including my family. I pray for your family every day, Steve. Pray for little Amanda. Pray for Steffi. God works in His time. And my prayer every day is God will bring His children into the church. We'll take up there next week, Lord willing, and we'll close and have conference now.